Hey guys, welcome to the Killing the Tea podcast. This is Gare,
And Kate.
and we are going to be discussing all things chills, thrills, and kills. Kate and I are going to be talking about our favorite books, TV shows, and movies that are in the thriller or crime fiction genre, as well as some reading habits and other items related to how we met on Bookstagram, that will fit in with this podcast. So thank you so much for joining us, and we hope that you have fun and get totally terrified. Let's just dive
Recently,
in.
yeah, let's just get into my
Let's
whole
just dive
list.
into the books that we've loved from 2022, or I guess late 2021 works too, so don't get too strict with yourself over there, Kate the Great, because I do that all the time. I feel like I get together like my favorites of the year, and then there's so many things that come out in December, and I'm like, oh, do I save that for like the next year? Because I always, so if anything late last year counts as well.
Well, now I'm gonna have to go even further back. But I also, in the same vein as The Last Housewife, in my opinion, because it also explores like female rage, silly class structures, how like beauty and wellness culture have been like mixed together and like commercialized. But Kismet by Amina Akhtar was so good, and it's kind of like a slasher movie too. It has so many things in it.
I've heard so many people say great things about that one, and I've also heard it kind of compared to like a Jordan Peele movie. Was it you that told me that?
Someone wrote that in their review and she shared it, and I told her, I was like, that is perfect. Like,
That just stuck
that
with
is what
you.
this is like. I think the review said like if like a Jordan Peele movie was mixed in with like a Nicole Kidman show about like yoga and gurus and like basically very white culture takes on like other culture stuff. And that's the perfect description. It's like Jordan Peele plus
Nine Perfect Strangers.
Nine Perfect Strangers.
I
It
love
is
that.
like that. And then it's like very slasher. There's some gore and some explosions.
I like that. I love the sound of that.
You
I'm
need to
all
read that one.
about, I'm all about slasher because that's like my favorite like horror trope. Like I hate like the Saw movies and stuff like that, but we'll get into
We'll
that
get
later.
to
But we'll get to
that.
that. We'll get to that. There's plenty of time for thrills, chills, and kills here. So
All of them can fit in.
nobody has to wait. Well, that's kind of a good segue for one of mine then.
Perfect.
There's this new YA book, and nothing against it. I have not had great luck with YA in the past.
Me neither.
But it's called How to Survive Your Murder by Danielle Valentine. And it is like almost like a Scream remake that is very meta and self-aware. And it is so freaking good. It is like a slasher movie in book form. There are a ton of like horror movie references. Like it references Scream, Halloween, all of these like 90s slasher movies that kind of like brought the genre back to where it is now. And it is one of my favorite books this year. I cannot stop thinking about it.
That is so good to know because I have that on my TBR and I was looking at it yesterday and I started a book that I did not know was YA and I was like, N okay, this is not working for me. So I was like, okay, what am I going to read next? And I debated that one and then I saw that it was kind of YA and I was like, I just said no to another one, but now I know I need to read it.
Yeah, I buddy read it with a friend, and we were kind of talking about how it is YA, but there's a lot of like gore, there's a lot of like foul language, there's a
Oh,
lot of
nice.
dark themes and like dark things that happen in it that like it was definitely like borderline not going to be a YA book if she would have added like a few more scenes, you know, but it was so good. I absolutely loved it. And
Nice.
it's kind of like about this girl who like her sister gets killed in this Halloween corn maze kind of party situation. And then all of a sudden she's like dealing with that for about a year, I believe. And then she wakes up one day and she's back to where she was the night her sister died. And she's like trying to save her sister and also like figure out what's going on. And if the guy that is on trial for the murder is actually guilty or not. Dun, dun, dun.
That sounds promising.
So good.
Bruce is literally just rolling around and panting at me right now. Just chilling on his back.
Mom, are you done yet?
Yeah. He's like,
Yeah.
books, books, bucks. Cool.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome, though. Did you read that Love in the Time of Serial Killers?
I did. It
We
was
can also cut it out if we need to. We
I did read
just skip.
it.
Because I was seeing reviews that made me skip, and I was like, maybe it's good. I don't
I mean, I didn't, it was okay. I just think that I think I like wanted to do like a three and a half. It
Yeah.
just, I thought it was gonna be like a rom-com and a thriller a little bit, but it was more or less just a rom-com about a woman who is really into true crime. So like there weren't any like mystery or thriller aspects to it that I really wanted to.
Cool. A little misleading then.
Yeah, it was
A
a little
little
misleading.
bit.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Let me ask Tyler to call him upstairs because he's just not gonna let us do this.
He's like,
Bruce, you gotta chill.
book schmucks, you mom talked about him
No,
for
he's
5 minutes.
literally just like shaking with anger over my shoulder. You're okay. This one gets too much attention. We got him when he was like tiny, like baby puppy. And he's just grown up with two parents who have always worked from home. And he just needs all the attention.
All the attention.
Bruce, go upstairs. Go upstairs. You want to go eat? You want to eat more? Go see your dad. Okay, well, he's not barking now, so we'll see. We'll see. Okay, so before that, you were talking about How to Survive Your Murder.
Yes.
So, segue wise, what would I talk about next? Okay, Blood Sugar was another one of my favorite ones from this year.
That was
Kind
so
of in
good.
the same like bloody genre there.
So good.
I was obsessed with that one.
I
I
like,
still think about it.
yeah, you know what I really liked about that one is I love when books kind of give you that little twist of, you know, the plot saying something to the effect of she's being taken in for questioning on one of the murders she actually didn't commit.
Yeah, like just saying it from the beginning. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I
I
love
thought that
that.
was cool too. And then it was because then it was very character driven, and that was really cool. But there was like action still all the way through it as well.
Yeah, it was really good. I remember really enjoying that one. And I,
Yeah.
from the minute I got an email from the publisher that they were going to send me like an advanced copy of it, I was just like harassing my mailman. Like, give me that
Yes.
package now. Yeah.
Yes. And the cover was beautiful. I loved that
Gorgeous.
cover. I love that cover so much. And The Last Housewife. We've probably already mentioned that, but that cover was gorgeous too.
Yeah, I'm
There's some
really into
beautiful
all the vibrant
covers.
colors on books this year, especially with like how dark Blood Sugar and
Yes,
The Last
both of
Housewife
them.
are. It's very dark, very dark. But yeah, I agree. It was definitely very unique, and it also was really well paced, in my opinion. Like, I loved the pacing with that.
Yes. I
I
was so
also,
into her story.
I really liked that one. And I also thought that the detective character was
Yeah.
written really well in that one. It didn't come off like,
Yes.
"You better not skip town," like and any of those like corny,
Yes.
cheesy lines, you know, like
Yes.
the detective, and that was just very much like, "I'm seeing through a lot of your bullshit and
Yeah.
not gonna let you get away with anything if you are guilty of this."
Yes. That's the hard part sometimes, like in those books, it because you're already not liking the cops in that, you're not a fan of the cops in that book. And so to then have it be like the really like hardened bad cop detective is like even worse.
I love that one. I
I
also,
loved it so much.
there were a lot of actually, not to say anything against any other thrillers that have came out, but there were actually a lot of really unique thrillers that I wasn't expecting those kind of plots. Notes on an Execution is one of my favorites.
Yes. That one was so unique.
I cried, and
I did too.
I'm not a big crier. I know that my best friend Tyler, like if he's listening, he will probably disagree. But
I cried in Blood Sugar.
I definitely cried in Notes on an Execution. I loved the plot of the serial killer going to like the death penalty and getting ready to be executed and having his entire life story told by various women in his life from the day he was born. Not just when he started committing crimes, but the day he was born. I was into that book. I think that's probably, other than The Last Housewife, I think that's probably my second favorite book of 2022. I cannot get it out of my head. And it's just brought so many emotions in a thriller that I wasn't expecting. I read her first book and I really enjoyed it. She's a wonderful writer, and I knew that this one was going to be a little bit more literary, but I
Yeah,
didn't expect
definitely.
it to be so emotional and also like pretty dark and violent, you know,
It
like
was.
there's not like a lot of like gory kill scenes. Like, she's not a Karen Slaughter, but it was just dark in the sense of like really hitting you in the chest with some of the things that she wrote. I love that book.
Yeah, when I talked to her about that one, and I thought what was like super powerful was that like her point was like we have a culture where we do glorify serial killers sometimes, even if it's just because we're like pretending that they're so smart and cunning and like better than us in that way. And she was like, I did kind of also want to write a story where it was like, nothing this person did was remarkable. He's not even that smart. Like, there are just bad people who do bad things just because like they're bad and that's it. But also starts like with a really tumultuous relationship with his mom. So it was very complex.
And I also love what she did with how she told the story, because every time, I think his name was Ansel Packer, is that
Ansel
right?
Packer.
Every time he was like in a scene in the book, it was just him being like, "Okay, I'm gonna die in 12 hours. I'm gonna die in 10 hours." There wasn't a lot of remorse. Like, it wasn't one of those things where you really felt bad for him in any way, shape, or form. But I also like how she wrote it, only because of the senses. One thing that I will say about culture and serial killers is people pay more attention to the Green River Killer than they do any of his victims. You know, people, like, everybody knows who Ted Bundy is, but I bet you probably less than 10% of the people can actually name somebody who he killed. You know, and I think there's so much focus on, I mean, don't get me wrong, it is very interesting to find out why people do those horrible things, like in a psychological sense. It is interesting. But it's also like, I think that we should probably pay more attention to victims than the actual killer, you know, like, and
Yeah.
sometimes people focus so much on that that that's why I loved the way she wrote the book, because it wasn't just knowing his victims' names, it was all of these people that not only did he impact their life, but like these murders also impacted their life
Yes.
in
Yes.
crazy, crazy ways, you
Yeah.
know, down to like paranoia and depression and all of these other things that can happen. And you don't really think about that, you know, when you hear about cases that happen in real life. You hear about like, oh, I feel bad for their parents or their children or something, but you don't think of like maybe the neighbor who turned
Right.
agoraphobic, or
Right.
how something like that can, you know, really affect just an entire community.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is, you mentioned how it was, it is more literary. Like there's a lot more prose in it, but it like you like really know the other women in his life. Like it's such a deep, like it felt like they had like texture almost is the word that keeps coming to mind when I keep trying to describe it. Like there were so many like sensory details, like you really felt like completely engulfed in what they were experiencing. And she explored like so many of the women's emotions as well. Like there were so many different like pictures of womanhood even throughout it was like a whole other thing that the book did. And she did kind of take the power from him, where like it was not him telling his story. He's not the point of the story. Like the women are the point of the story. It was very cool.
He did not have much of a voice in that story, and I love that. There's also, it kind of reminds me, it's not a book from this year, but it's one of my favorite books in the entire world. It's called Please See Us by Caitlin Mullen,
Yeah.
and I love that book because it's also a serial killer book, but all of the victims are like what they consider Jane Does, and they all have a voice. So like alternating chapters will be from like Jane Doe number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
Nice.
and you get a look into who they were prior to their untimely death. But it's not focused that much on the actual killer than it is
Yeah.
the voice behind his victims. And I just,
Right.
that's a beautiful book. It's very dark and it's
I
very
need to read that.
disturbing.
I've had it on a, I've seen it before. It's on my list, but I have not read it yet.
I've probably read it 3 or 4 times, so when you
Oh,
do go
wow.
pick it up, like I will read it with you. It, even if
Okay.
you want to like discuss every single page, I am in it to win it. I
Yeah.
am obsessed with that book. It is so, so good, and I think she did a great
Yeah,
job with it.
that looks great. Yeah. We definitely have a serial killer streak here going a little bit. Not us. We're not serial killers,
No,
just to be
but
clear.
I mean, that is, I think that's my favorite like genre of thrillers, we'll say, or
It's,
like trope in thrillers. I don't even know what
yeah.
you would call it,
Yeah,
but
maybe subgenre.
yeah, that's a good one. Subgenre. Like, did you read Real Easy by
No, I saw
Marie?
so many conflicting reviews, and then I saw you recommend it last night, and I was like, okay, I need to read that now too.
It is so good. I think if you
Okay.
enjoy Notes on an Execution,
I did.
anybody listening who enjoys Notes on an Execution or enjoys
Okay.
Please See Us, I think you will love this book. It takes place
Okay.
in a strip club in the 90s, and there's this like one dancer who just does not want anything to do with the other girls. Like she is like, I'm here to make money, I'm going home, like I don't want any, I'm not here to make friends. And
Yeah.
then this new girl comes in and she ends up like trying to be nice to her, and he
Okay.
goes to give her a ride home. One of the girls is found dead and the other one is missing, and it just
Oh
sparks
no.
an investigation. But I mean, it's also, I think the thing that I really enjoyed about it is that it takes place in the 90s. So you don't have a lot of technology. Like they can't like drop a pin like where she opened her Instagram app the last place, or you know. So it, but it also has that thing that's similar to Notes on an Execution, where there's a lot of character perspectives, like even down to like children.
Yeah, that was what I saw, was some people said it was hard to keep, or like keep them distinct. But do you feel like it was still easy to keep track of? Some people just complain about that too easily.
I took notes. I always take notes on characters when I read a book,
Okay.
especially like if, I mean, if it's like a locked room mystery and there's only like four or five, then I'm fine. But
Right.
if there's going to be a bigger cast, I do take notes.
Yep.
But I also feel like she did such a good job writing the book, and she gave such a voice to all of them
Okay,
that,
cool.
like, when the detective comes on, like, she's like, I'm investigating these crimes.
Right.
I'm like, there's a this witness. But then when there's like a child, like they're like, it very much seems like something that like you're in a child's head. Like they're wondering about like
Nice.
what they're gonna have for like cereal, I think is like one of the, I don't know, but I guess that's what
Now
kids
I
want
just
to
want
have.
cereal.
Yeah. But yeah, that's another good one.
Yeah, I need to read that one then.
Yeah.
I really, really loved More Than You'll Ever Know. Another very like character driven one, like a very emotional one, but like also unraveling a murder that happened like decades prior, and you're bouncing back between timelines and character perspectives. And the ending was just perfect. And I just loved the characters so much. Like, I
I
still remember them.
am dying to read that one
I
because
really
people keep
like, it's
talking
another one
about
that had
it.
texture. Like, the characters have texture.
I'm dying to read that one. I feel like everybody has talked about it. A lot of people did say like it wasn't necessarily like a thriller, but it had like thriller aspects to the plot. And I feel like sometimes that works better for me too. Like, if she would have written it, I mean, I haven't read it yet, but if she would have written it trying to make it this really twisty reveal kind of thriller, like, I don't know if that would have worked as well. Sometimes I feel like that. So, because I have read the plot and it does sound really good.
It's much more, I think the focus of the book is how women like actually can be messy too, and that you can still really appreciate where they were coming from. And I'm trying not to give too much of it away, but there's
Right.
still like, it's some messy actions are what led to a murder. So like there's the murder there, but I would agree, it's not like, I wasn't ever saying like it's action packed, like
Right.
that's not what it is, but like you really get like emotionally torn with the character over something that like I didn't ever think I would totally buy into being emotionally torn over. That's what I'll
You
say.
really sold that for me. You really sold that for me. You know who kind of like the way that you describe it, it almost kind of sounds like Jennifer Hillier, like how she writes the female characters. Cause I like absolutely, I just love
Yes, it would be, it's definitely similar to that.
I've definitely seen it compared to Jennifer Hillier too.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Just in the way that she writes her characters, not like it's, like super dark like Jennifer Hillier, but did you read Things We Do in the Dark?
Yeah, oh yes.
Oh
That
my
was
God.
amazing.
Amazing. She
I
is
loved that one
just
so much.
so good. Like, I have not. Her earlier stuff is a little different compared to like Jar of Hearts and Things We Do in the Dark, but they're still so good. I have not read anything and finished it by her and been like, oh, that was a disappointment. Like, I'm always just like, oh my God, she's so dark and twisted, and I love it. And she's also like one of the nicest people in the world.
I love that. I love Things We Do in the Dark though. And I felt like the ending was so good. And like sometimes with books that have that many things going, the ending's not like disappointing, but like sometimes it's not just like perfect, like stick the landing. And I felt like she stuck the landing on the ending. I loved the ending.
You know what the thing is with her? Not anything against her storytelling, because I love the way that she writes her books, but she's also one of those authors that will completely like beguile me with her writing, because I guessed one of the twists in that book and I was like, I don't even care that I feel like I know what's going to happen. I want to know. I think with her stories, even if you guess something, it's just as important in how she gets you to that point than it is if you guess something that happened. And that's something
Yeah.
that I like always love, love, love about her writing, because it is like a character journey that you are, you know, going along with. And also, she does not hold back. Like, she really puts her characters through the ringer, and
Yeah,
like,
she does.
she's like, this is how like a realistic story is going to be, and I don't care if you like think that I'm like emotionally and mentally beating the shit out of these characters. Like,
Yeah.
I'm taking them where they need to go,
Yes.
and they're gonna need a lot of therapy when the
Yeah.
closing
If you have,
chapter.
if you're working through mommy issues right now, it might, the book might piss you off a little
Yeah.
bit.
Yeah. What a good fill-in, though.
Yes. Yes, I agree. I agree.
Amazing.
Yeah. That
Yeah.
one was so good. That one would be in my list then too. I really loved Alias Imov, but it's a spy thriller, so I don't think you read it.
I have not read it. I have not heard
Okay.
of it, but
Yeah.
I also am learning that I could be more open to like different areas of crime fiction,
Yeah.
because I know that I think that you've mentioned this before, that you love that book.
I
And
did.
I just sometimes it's good to get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah. Well, and if it's not, I know we talked about, because I asked you if you read action or spy thrillers, and your point was like also sometimes it gets so political or whatever. I would say like this, it's not like there's really nothing political happening. And it's kind of just like the main character basically has to secure an asset, but then the office she was supposed to bring him to gets compromised. So then like the whole book is her trying to get this asset who like a lot of people are trying to kill through London to like of the complete other side of London in one night. And like it's the action was just so fun. Like every time you like thought they were a little bit safe, then everything like totally blew up all over again. And it was just fun. It was fun for me. So it wasn't a really like macho political, like all of like those maneuverings. It really was kind of a more feminine spy thriller, but she's still as cool as James Bond.
I love that, though. I
Yeah.
that sells me, because I feel like almost every book, if not every book that we've discussed so far, they're all written by women.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge fan of supporting women in crime fiction, because
Yeah.
I think that if there were not women writing crime fiction and thrillers and all of these different genres that we love within crime
Yeah.
fiction, like, we would not have as many books to talk
I
about.
know. That's what, 'cause like I'm not against interviewing male authors. It's just there've only been like four that I've reached out to the whole time, and three of them said yes. So I just did, like statistically, I just don't end up reading as many male authors.
I
I'm
just
not against
have,
it.
yeah, I just also think that, like, I love how women write other women in
Yeah.
such a more believable way. And that
Yeah.
really sells it for me. Like, especially when
Yes.
you said, like, with some of these stories that we're discussing, like, they're definitely more character driven. Like Flicker in the Dark by
Oh,
Stacy.
I loved that one.
If a man tried to write Chloe, that
It would not work.
would not work. Like,
No.
the anxiety and the paranoia and all of the like mental health issues that that poor character had
Yes.
from the beginning to the end, and well
Yeah.
after the end of that book, like,
Right. And a lot
Stacy,
because of the men in her life.
you're damn right, girl. That was such a good book.
I
I am
loved that
obsessed.
one.
Again, another serial killer thriller.
I know, I
But
know. I even think it's not my main genre, and then I'm like, it is.
You know, it's really funny that you say that too, because I was like, oh my, I know I love serial killer thrillers because I love the, they almost remind me of more, they kind of remind me of like the slasher movies that I love, you know, because you don't know who's going to be next. You don't know why. You don't know who the killer is. You don't know their motive or their history, like what turned them. So there's so many aspects of them that really like make me feel like I have to pay attention to every word in the book because I want to know what's happening and I want to figure it out at the time that I'm supposed to. I don't want it to register with me a week later. But that's just, there's so many different aspects to them that I feel like really makes me just fully admit that's my genre. But anything psychological, like
I think
psychological
that's because
thriller.
I was trying to narrow it down for myself too, and that is like a big part of it is if it's like really examining the psychology of a bunch of people in a situation, sometimes I think what makes serial killer stories more interesting for that is like it can be something that like spans time. And it's something that's like more rooted in the person's personality. So sometimes there's like more to explore. But in general, I know the other like feeling I love when I'm reading at least is like with Stay Awake that I read last night. Like when there's like, even if it's not amnesia, but there's some general, like you can tell you're a little disoriented even reading it. And but you're still like dying to figure it out. I love that feeling. And that tends to be in like what I feel like people call like a pretty traditional psychological thriller. But I love the one where it's like, what is the truth? Where you're kind of like going back and forth on it through the whole book.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that. I love when a book like kind of makes me feel lightheaded because I'm like panicking and I'm like, wait, am I not feeling well or is this like plot just completely like ruining me right now? Especially when you get to the ending and it feels like a fever dream and you don't like, yeah, like the, I love that. I love that 100%. All good
There's a
people
book from 2019 that I really specifically remember giving that feeling to called Date Night by Samantha Hayes. And I remember the whole time, like, I was like, there's just something that is off, like, the whole time. You're just like, I don't quite know what it is, but something's not always lining up. And then at the end, you're like, holy shit, that's what it was.
yeah,
That one
I
was
love
great.
it. Actually, I haven't had like a reaction like that in a while, where a book like made me feel like physically upset or ill. But I actually, when I read All Good People Here by Ashley Flowers, I at the end of it felt like the anxiety that that book gave me upset my stomach. Like I just was like, I felt very queasy and I felt very like just uncomfortable. Like my palms were really like sweaty and I just like felt off for like hours that night. But it was so good. Like that ending will stick with me for a very, very, very long time.
I
And
know I need to
I
read
know.
it.
Yeah, I'll read it with you.
You're like, I'll go through it again.
I'll go through it again. It's, I
That
feel
was,
like
I
the,
think we both talked about The Good Daughter was one that gave me like a visceral reaction like that, where I was like, whew. That
yeah.
was like one of my
There,
most pronounced ones.
yep. Yeah, The Good Daughter by Karin Slaughter, Pretty Girls by Karin Slaughter gave me, there's one scene, there's one reveal, I guess I should say, including some things that they found out. I'm trying to like keep this spoiler free, but there's something that they found out, and then when I read it, I was like very shocked in the description of some of like the graphic violence in that book. But psychologically, it hit me like a few hours later that how disturbing it was, and I was just like, wow, like that hit me very hard.
Yeah,
Hit me
I
very hard.
agree.
And like All Good People Here, like I don't want to say I wasn't expecting it because I really enjoyed the book, but I mean, you can tell. I mean, she's really good with Crime Junkie and her podcast, and I absolutely adore her from that. So when I read the book, like I was reading it and I was like, wow, you can tell that she's definitely thought about a lot of the cases that she's done and some of the episodes and like things that they've covered. So when I was reading it, you could almost hear it in her voice that she's describing these things as if it was something that really happened. But then when I got to the ending and it was getting to the point where things were being revealed, the truth was coming out, and like realizing that like eventually there's got to be a last line in this book, and the way that she did it just made me feel like, you know that feeling you get when you're so hungry, like if you skipped lunch and you get to dinner and you're like, oh my God, I could eat everything, and you eat so much and you eat so fast, and then about 20 minutes later you're like, I feel like I'm gonna throw up. That's how I felt. That's how I felt when I finished All Good People Here.
So I will make sure that I'm not eating when I finish it.
It's not anything that will gross you out. It just made me feel so uncomfortable and uneasy. And I definitely got teary-eyed with that one. Whew.
I get that though. It happens to me. Oh, there was a part in Blood Sugar that I would cry about even if I remembered it.
You'll have to tell me what it is offline, because I think that one came out in the spring and I read it in like late winter, because as soon as I got it, I was like, I need to read this now. And I try to read books like closer to when they come out.
Me too.
But with that one, I just couldn't help myself. And I've read so many books since that I'm like, I just remember loving it. Do you ever like feel like that? Like you're like, I knew I loved that book, but
There are
there's
some
certain
books where
things.
I know I did, but I remember like a bit of the plot.
And I don't remember like the big reveals, but I'm just like, I remember being like floored when I read it. That's one of those books.
I used to cry a lot more easily in TV shows. Like I was such an easy crier. But I'm a
Yeah,
little better
I used to be you're better and I'm bitter. I used to
now.
cry a lot more easy now, or like now I just don't, but I used to cry a lot easier then. I don't know when
Yeah, I
everything.
have my things that will just always get me, and it's like very obvious why it does. And so like anytime there's a version of like just like a really selfless mother, I'm like, oh my God. I'm such a sucker for it. Like I'm definitely past the trauma of it all. But if there's a sweet mom, I'm like
Oh my God, animal deaths. And like, have you ever watched, oh my God, what the hell's the name of that movie? Prayers for Bobby.
No.
It has Sigourney
Let's look
Weaver
it
in
up.
it. And it's based on a true story, so this like is not a spoiler, but it literally is like this guy who like grew up gay in like maybe like the 70s or 80s, and his mom never accepted it, and she was always like, you need to change, you need to change, and he ended up killing himself. And like after he killed himself, like she realized how she could have been more supportive, and she became like a huge gay rights activist like
Oh
after
my
he
gosh.
died. And that movie, I saw a TikTok of it the other day, and like just like tears started coming down my
I'm
face.
like, my eyes are prickly right now. I would sob my way through that.
It's such a good movie, but it is so
Oh,
hard to watch, but it's just
I bet.
insane.
Wow. I know. Are you a This Is Us person? I feel like you
I should be.
wouldn't be.
I probably should be. I used to cry. I guarantee you, there were about 10 years of my life that I probably cried every single episode of Grey's Anatomy, because I felt for the patients as well as like if their surgery
That's
was
what they did.
successful, I would like cry because I'm like, I'm so happy for you, Patricia. And then like if they died, I'd be like, oh my God, how did you let this happen?
I
But
know.
yeah, I definitely think that I could get into This Is Us. I just have to take the time to actually like get into it, you know, and
It's
like
just a
binge watch
lot
it.
of crying. That was why I brought it up. Like, there's definitely good storytelling, but like if you don't want to just cry every time, that was what it got to for me, where I was like, I don't want to cry every time I watch it.
I think the thing is too, like, and I say this about like all media, like books, movies, and television. I think the thing when it comes to getting that sort of reaction where I'm teary-eyed or my heart feels like it's broken or any sort of reaction like that is almost when I don't really expect it, which is why I think it really hits me hard when I read like thrillers because I'm not expecting that emotional connection. And then movies and television, a lot of the times it's the way that it's acted that will really hit me hard. So,
I
but I think
agree.
that's why, like, I might not be too bad with This Is Us because I would probably be expecting to cry and expecting to have that like emotional reaction. But like in like All Good People Here, like I was not expecting that reaction. I was not expecting to be that deflated emotionally from that kind of book, you know?
In it, but you definitely are expecting to be moved that way when you read a thriller. So it makes sense that it could like sneak up on you.
Yeah, I remember the last like non-thriller book that made me cry, but like, I mean, I wasn't really expecting it, but at the same time, it didn't really surprise me that much because it was so like well written and I really enjoyed the ending, but it was very emotional. But I think the last time that I had that emotional reaction in like a thriller was definitely All Good People Here. And I think it's just, I mean, you'll know when you read it. Like, I think it's just there were so many disturbing aspects to that book that weren't, they weren't unrealistic, you know, and I think that's the thing that's tough. So like sometimes when things aren't, you know, like when you're like, oh shit, this could really happen, and then it kind of gets that reaction out of you, you're like, oh, whew.
That made me think of Handmaid's Tale. Do you watch Handmaid's Tale?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
That one is brutal. That one hurts
I've cried a few
sometimes.
times during that, yeah.
Yeah, when you said the way it's acted, that was like definitely what made me think of Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah,
So
I love
good.
Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
It's so
Comes
good.
back
It's,
soon too.
I know, I don't know if I'm ready. See, I was one of the people that started Handmaid's Tale after it was popular. Like, I probably started it when it was like during season four, and
Oh,
I
okay.
binged like three or four seasons right in a row. So I was
Yeah.
like really burnt out from it because it is very
It's
emotionally
so heavy.
distressing.
Yeah, there I when one of the seasons aired recently, like I always wait until all the episodes are out anyway so that I can watch it straight through.
Right.
But even when it had all come out, I was like, I'm just not in the headspace for this. So I even waited a few months at that point because I was like, I love the show, but like it is a very different kind of show. It's so heavy to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's really tough, especially considering just, you know, like how women are treated in society and everything. It's just, and this was before a lot of the things that have happened this year. So it's just
Exactly.
so scary because it's.
That's what's really scary. Yeah, the first episode opens with like Roe versus Wade has been overturned and
Yeah.
hasn't been common law for like years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Freaky. It's freaky.
And like, especially like all of the people trying to like escape the United States and get to Canada as quickly as possible to live a better life. And like, there were so many people talking about that, like the past few years that it just like when I was watching it, I was like, I don't know. Because it was also like during the height of COVID that I was binging it. So I was like,
That
I
would
don't
be
know if
rough. That would be really rough.
I felt like I watched like Schitt's Creek really quickly and like that was good during the height of COVID because it was like funny and uplifting. But then like Handmaid's Tale was like so dark and just like guess what? Like you could just be living your best life and be completely happy and have the next day like everything ripped to shreds. And I was
That's what
like,
it does really well too, is that juxtaposition, because so much of it, especially in the first and second seasons, is showing how normal these characters' lives were just
yeah.
years before. And then you cut to what they're dealing with now, and you're like, oh, It could happen
I
still.
love the way they do that in that show.
Yeah.
Love the way they
And
do
the
that.
music, there, oh my gosh, the music, the way episodes end with certain music, like they do so many things right with that show. And Elizabeth Moss is just perfection.
Oh my God.
She's
And
amazing.
Yvonne Strahovski, is that her name?
Yes. Yeah.
She's so freaking good too.
Yeah, she is.
She is such a
She's
talented
beautiful.
lady.
I know. I used to watch her in Chuck.
Okay.
It was like a dramedy on maybe CBS. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. I love the backstory that they do with their characters and like how they do it in flashbacks.
Yes. Yeah.
It also reminds me of,
Orange is the New Black.
yes, actually, I wasn't thinking that, but yeah, it reminds me of Orange is the New Black, and I also it reminds me of kind of Euphoria.
Yes,
Because in
yes.
Euphoria, every episode starts with like a character's
I love that.
backstory, and I love the way they do that.
It's
Because
so good.
I just love that show.
I love shows that do that. I think it's so valuable when they like nail that to be able to really see different perspectives. That's what's so cool about it.
Yeah, I also feel like the way half the reason I really like to do that too is because you know what it's like in this time and like digital age where you can't watch one episode of a TV show without a text message, an email, a notification on something.
Yeah.
So like it's so effective like in that sense because the only other way for them to do that would be through dialogue. And I feel like if you miss something, you're going to be really confused. Whereas like they do something like that that makes you like forces you to really pay attention. It's just so
Yes.
effective and it does like stick with
Yes.
you more, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of just like having one line of dialogue that's like, oh, when I was 10 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Blah, blah,
When
blah.
they're like when they say like show don't tell and when they're
Yes.
just really obviously telling you and you're
Yep.
like, "Okay, tell me this is a pilot episode without telling me it's a pilot
Yeah.
episode." They're like, "I haven't seen you in 10 years since we
Yeah.
were in high school together." You're like, "No one
Other
greets each other that way."
no, like the other character, like unless it's like a story about somebody waking up like with
Yeah.
amnesia.
Yeah.
Like
That is
Samantha
the one
Who.
exception.
I
I can't
agree on
remember what
that.
we were watching. We were watching something where they were just spelling out everything that was happening. And we were like, this movie could have been 30 minutes shorter and better if they didn't like explain it to us like we were five.
I hate that. I also
Yeah.
hate when you're watching a show and it's like episode like 8 of 12 or 8 of 10, and you're like, oh my God, I can't wait to see what happens next. And then it's like some dumb filler episode that like if you would have skipped it, you wouldn't even give a shit what
Yes.
happened.
Yes. There was definitely a period where seasons were getting too bloated because we're just now getting to a point where like shows could be six episodes or eight episodes. And like for a bit, everything was like 20 episodes on cable.
Yeah.
And then when we kind of got into digital, they're like 12. That must be the lowest you could go. And then they're like, maybe 10 works. And now, like, sometimes 8 works and sometimes 6 works. But there's a period where, like, everything was getting bloated because they're like, oh, people do have long attention spans. And you're like, yeah, but sometimes, like, keeping everything, like, really mattering to the plot is going to actually make people watch the whole thing. Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed the episode. Be sure to follow us on Instagram so that you can keep up with everything we're reading and talking about. You can follow Garrett at Garrett Indeed Reads, and you can follow me, Kate, at The Girl with a Book on the Couch.